Hi, and welcome back to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. Happy almost New Year. I just wanted to let you know a quick exciting memo that McKenna actually had her baby. As we have been following here in the podcast, she's been getting more and more pregnant, closer and closer to her due date, and her baby came early. So exciting. And as a result of that, our timeline is a little bit pushed back, so the Prayer Companion will be coming out soon, but not yet. We will keep you updated in the show notes when the next pod comes out. But it is coming right around the corner, and pray for McKenna and her new sweet baby. They're doing great. Okay, on to the show. Hello and welcome back to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon to our mini series, Permission in Prayer. I'm here with McKenna.
Woo
And we're excited to be back for another episode. Today is one of the very last days of 2025, people. Let's go. New Year's is right around the corner. And with it, our prayer companion comes out on January 1st. We're so excited. And we're not trying to be a big advertisement here. We're trying to empower you to know how to pray well. And we're helping you. Our hope is in this episode to empower you to claim it that this is the year that
Amen.
you are going to get creative in prayer. You are going to thrive in prayer. You're going to get closer to the Lord. And if you have felt dry or stuck or unsure of how to pray, like you're going to get unstuck this year. We're going to help pull you out, okay? So, in this episode, we're going to get into it, like how to pray creatively. Things that count that you might not have thought have counted.
Amen. If you need a declaration for your 2026, maybe
Yes.
it's God has great plans for your prayer life. Boom.
Boom. Yes. I will stick that on my mirror. But seriously, like this whole concept of like, is this holy? Is this prayerful? Does this count? We're just like McKenna and I, at least in our experience, and that's, I guess, we're just sharing from our own experience. Things count. Anything that brings you to conversation with the Lord and intimacy,
Yes.
it counts.
Yes.
Like, stop putting up barriers that this is neat and tidy prayer and that's too weird.
Yes. It's
Yeah.
everything's unto relationship.
Yes.
And I love the people that I know who are great at just simplifying things. Where there's this missionary that I work with, and we work with kids a lot, and we're praying for them, we're trying to evangelize, we're like sharing about miracles, about Jesus and it can be a lot sometimes, and you can oversimplify it. And this man is so good at being like, I just gotta, play with the kids and love them like Jesus would. It's not that hard. I have the best job ever. Like,
I love it.
wow. So yeah, if I'm like, if it's unto relationship with Jesus, simply like it
Yeah.
counts,
Yeah. If you're talking to Jesus in it, yeah. If it's not distracting you from God, if it's bringing you to Him, yeah, totally. Okay, so we don't want to foster comparison in prayer. Like, that's not what we're about here. But we're going to talk a lot about how we pray. Just to give you an idea, to expand your horizons, if you will. And so we figured instead of starting with ourselves, we'd start with some saints. Let's start with the big hitters and see that there's a variety in prayer. Like, there's so many different ways to do it, and even one saint did not pray like the next saint, okay? And we don't know, maybe a saint that was forging a new path of prayer was like insecure, like, oh, nobody else is praying like me. Am I doing it right? We don't know. Maybe they felt that
Yes.
way. But like, in the end, so many different saints and people in the Bible left like legacies of prayer that we can turn to say, we're going to pray like this person. And so maybe if you're doing something different in prayer that other people around you aren't doing, maybe that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And other people are going to later say, oh, I pray like that person did, you know? So I don't know. Just have confidence that if you're doing it with the Lord, it is good. So anyways, how do different saints pray? McKenna, hit us with a couple. What are different people doing throughout these different saints' lives?
Well, first, I love to look at, I use these two saints a lot
Okay.
as like when I sometimes wrestle, like, is what am I holy enough like that other person, or those people are really holy. I think about how Blessed Carlo Acutis, now Saint Carlo
Yes, saint.
Acutis,
Yes.
maybe, is also a saint in the same realm that Saint Teresa of Avila, who was contemplator and very like,
Ecstasy.
ecstasy, all the things, and drastically different in age, right? I mean,
Totally.
she was older, but how they are both saints
Yeah.
in the same place,
They're both
like
in heaven now, baby.
it's crazy.
Yeah.
One of the ways I think is fun, if we've been watching the show, David, or all that, the show, what is that called? Son of David?
David? The new Amazon Prime show, House of David.
House of David. It's amazing. But David is crazy, and he also, like, he sings to the Lord all the time, and it is so beautiful in the show, but also, like, I love his honesty in all the Psalms. You see how he wrestles with the Lord, and then concludes sometimes like, but Lord, you're still so good. Mm-hmm. And you see it in his prayer that he's not afraid to be honest through his song.
Yeah, and literally David got judged in his life. Like, it's written in the Bible that his wife judged him as he was expressive and praying, and they were bringing the ark into Jerusalem, and he's, like, dancing. And she literally judged him. She was like, what on earth is he doing? So David, in his own time, was not always, like, people weren't like, David's an amazing prayer. They were like, you're crazy. But now we're like, pray like David. You know, so, like, sometimes in your own time, you're not recognized as, like, knowing what you're doing. But if David's doing it with Jesus, and he doesn't care.
Yes.
He's like, I'll be even more undignified.
He danced Mikhail, naked.
Or whatever her name is. Yeah, he danced naked. Like, gosh, if you want to get creative in prayer, take your clothes on.
But I'm like, maybe not that one. But maybe his point was freedom.
Freedom, yeah, exactly. That's good pivot, McKenna. Good save.
That's good.
Okay, yes. Lots of saints also wrote their own prayers. So I know I love, like, praying written prayers. I love the prayer of St. Patrick, his breastplate. But, like, he wrote that, you know? So that did not exist before him. So he's not, you know, necessarily saying prayers written by other people. He's writing his own. So that's a really cool thing. Mary's Magnificat, you know, but, like, dozens of saints have written their own. I love it. I feel like a thing that people are writing these days more commonly are litanies. I feel like I'm coming across litanies a lot that people have written. And I'm like, these are beautiful prayers that other people are writing that I get to benefit from. So it's like, don't be afraid to write your own prayer.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Shout out. There's this girl named, I think, Hannah Marie Joy. Hannah Marie, maybe.
Awesome.
But
on Instagram?
I think it's on Instagram. Yes. And her litanies are like Litany of the Waiting Woman when you're in a season.
Wait, I need to look her up. Okay, or that's awesome.
Litany of the Undiscovered Spouse.
Okay, so she gets specific.
She's amazing. Okay. She gets specific. But it's so cool. Like, I've made litanies in inspiration from her, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I need because it's specific to my life.
It's specific and it's beautiful and it's, okay. Hannah Marie Joy. We'll link her in the show notes, whoever she is. Okay. Love that. Francis de Sales, my guy, he wrote guided meditations for people. So I do love guided meditations from time to time. I don't do them every time I'm praying, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, I bet somebody walked you through. They walk you through either your imagination or through prompts or through, like, prayer things. St. Francis de Sales, he has meditations in the Introduction to the Devout Life that are specifically meant to put you into the presence of God. So they use your imagination to remind you of how little you are and how big God is and stuff. So those types of meditations, I think, are helpful. But yeah, he was writing meditations in prayer. That was probably different than people around him.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. I love Ignatian meditation.
Yeah.
When I first, like, dove into it, it changed my life because I'm so, like, imagination and I love.
Did you just have a party?
I did. I was like, I love movies. I love, like, watching the story unfold. And within Ignatian meditations, it's like, enter into the story of Jesus and take time to read scripture and then picture the little things, like the pebbles on the ground, what the air would have smelled like, what Jesus would have looked like in this scene, what the girl, what the boy would have looked like, what you would look like in this scene. And I remember praying with Jesus when there's this scene where the apostles are like, Jesus is coming to them on water.
I think walking on the water?
It's walking on water.
Yes.
I think he's walking on water, but it led me to meditate on, like, Peter walking on water and how he falls through the water a little bit. And in the meditation, I began to walk on water, and I just got to realize that, wow, Jesus didn't do that to be like, look, Peter, you failed. He was like, look, I'm your teacher, and I want you to trust me and don't be afraid to fail and have faith. And that was awesome to be like, Jesus, in this season, I can be a student and I can walk on water. And if I walk on water and my foot goes through the water, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that all came through.
It's so good because you're visualizing it. Right. And those things, like, I think of all the people who painted. Like, we've got these sacred pieces of art that are beautiful. I'm thinking specifically of, like, the picture of, you know, you're under the water and Jesus is, like, reaching his hand down into the water. Yes. You know, that painting. But, like, somebody had to pray and receive that image and see that in their imagination in order to paint it for yes. all of us to be inspired, right? So, like, painting through that. But, okay, wait, what you just said reminded me, I just heard on a podcast recently, one of my favorite priests, Father James Serby, was speaking about something I had never done in prayer before. And it's like, Ignatian meditation times 10. He did a retreat, and I guess he was focusing on, like, the hemorrhaging woman story, mm-hmm. but he, like, rewound her story and entered in imaginatively to her story, like, picture that he was journeying with her for a week. Wow. And he was visiting different doctors with her, and they were, like, not able to help her, and he was despairing with her. And then at the last day of their retreat, they finally met Jesus together, and they touched Jesus' hem together. And he, like, went on a journey with this woman, fictionally, you know, wow. within his imagination, reverently. You know, you got to be careful with, you know, too much imagination, where you're imagining things that are not true. Sure, okay. But, like, if, you know, this priest, he already knows the Lord. He already knows the story. He is kind of has built a foundation of that he can really build imagination on. Mm. I just thought that's so beautiful. I've never, like, fictionally fabricated the story of a character in order to get to know them better. But, like, I don't know, you know, the little shepherd, the little lamb, there's, like, little Christmas baby books about, like, the shepherds.
Yes.
And, like, the shepherd broke his leg, and he's the one who met Jesus because he was left behind. Or the little lamb that was like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I think.
These are fictional stories that are, like, made up in order to capture the nativity in a different way, you know? And those are beautiful, and they're, like, totally a form of prayer. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I just think imagination, it's not just, if you think of an Ignatius and you're like, I don't really know how to do that. Like, there's a lot of different ways to do imagination and prayer.
Yeah. So. And I think, too, it's like, well, Lord, what are you speaking to me through this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, like, what is the point of, you know, imagining the story if it's not unto relationship with him?
Yeah.
It is. So I think it's just cool how the Lord can reveal his heart through being with the hemorrhaging woman for a week.
Totally. Like, how cool is that? It builds it up the story so much more. Yeah. I want to do that with different Bible characters.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Okay, some other saints. Let's think. There's, like,
my girl. I think we're going to say the same person, maybe. Are we? Maybe not.
Say it on three.
Three, two, one.
Gemma Galgani. Never mind.
That's your girl.
Not even my girl.
Oh, okay, dang it.
She's great, though.
She's great.
She talked to her guardian angel.
That's amazing.
Anyways, go ahead.
Wow, that's amazing. That's another way that I don't pray.
You know, she would send him on errands, though. So, like, is that unto the Lord?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because is that prayer necessarily?
I don't know, because you're not talking to Jesus.
Right.
But you're definitely talking to an angel, and that's pretty sick.
Right. And your heart is probably still centered on the Lord all of that.
Oh, it has to be in order, like, to communicate with an angel, right?
Totally. But, like, trusting, like, my angels are with, or, like, my guardian angel is with me is basically, like, the Lord is providing for me.
And, like, the angel of God. Prayer is a prayer, and you're speaking to the angel, but okay, continue. Interesting. What were you saying about Therese, though?
St. Therese was very blunt with the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to think of her as very sassy, but I just love in her journals how she would talk about how even after communion, she didn't always feel the most consolation.
Yeah.
And she was like, for some other people, like other saints, that might be the most consolation they feel. Mm. And this is a very holy woman. And I'm like, she's the best. And she talks explicitly like, I don't feel you specifically in this moment.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to see how, like, she is still a saint.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I like her bluntness with the Lord, too. It gives you permission, reading Story of a Soul, to talk to the Lord a little bit less like, hello, Heavenly Father above, and a little more like, Jesus, I am suffering. You know, of course you want to be reverent, and I'm not trying to mock reverence. I am just saying there's a familial way of talking to the Lord that saints demonstrate for us. We're like, oh, I'm allowed to do that. Cool. Like, yeah. So, okay, so I love it. Lots of saints, lots of different directions that they go, different personalities, different temperaments.
Oh, wait, what were you going to say about St. Gemma?
Oh, St. Gemma, she journaled. Oh, I mean, so love did that. Therese too, right? But like prayer journaling, I think is probably the most typical way of praying, don't you think?
I
Bible and
think,
journal. I feel like that's
yeah, I
typical.
wonder in certain circles if it's like more
Yeah,
so.
that's a great question. Maybe, you know, it just in our circle, kind of journaling is the kind of common thing. But I think that it's a lot of saints tend to do that. I know that Gemma Galgani did. I just know that this is the reason that we have saint stories a lot of times is they were asked to write down their life story, which is different than journaling. But Gemma Galgani journaled as well as, what's his name? Newman, John Henry Newman. He journaled. And you get great quotes from them.
Yeah.
Faustina obviously journaled, but she kind of had a diary that I think she was told to keep in order to keep track of events. A little bit different, but.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me and for you, like, I just want to break it down a little bit more. Like, what are common ways that you pray? Creative ways that maybe are different than the common person.
Commonly creative. Love it.
Common for McKenna, creative for the rest of the world.
I would say creative ways have been, I've talked about this, but I do love like getting using my hands and
Yeah.
ripping paper and we once did like a vision board, but like what are the promises from the Lord?
Yeah.
And I love using paint chips from Home Depot
Oh, very cool and free.
and free. And sometimes I'll go and I'm like to my husband, I'm like, Murphy, distract them. And
So you can just pull a bunch.
because part of me is like, is this wrong that I'm taking them? But then sometimes I ask and,
They're
it's
like, take
fine.
them, take
It's
them. Maybe it'll
fine.
influence you to paint your
And
wall.
it's only like five that I take. Don't worry. But I love to like put them in my journal and write like promises from the Lord. I'm big on like
Cool.
promises from the Lord.
Yeah.
I love keeping a note on my phone of prophetic words that other people have gotten. So,
Yes.
words that people have received in prayer, for my life, and then going back and kind of praying with that and being like, Lord,
Yeah.
what are you speaking here?
I love that. It honors what God has said when you pay attention to it, when you
Yeah,
revisit it.
when you
Okay,
steward
wait,
it.
go back to the paint chips. Do you write on the paint chips or are they just there in your journal to
Oh,
decorate?
I write on them
Okay,
like a
cool.
little, and I like how it's like they usually have like three slots, so it's like maybe a
Oh,
different
yes, you can
promise
put the
for each thing.
different. Cool, okay. And then when you're working with your hands, like, do you feel just like Jesus is sitting at that table with you, working with you? Or are you like in conversation with him as you're moving your hands? What is that like?
So, this is good. I once was listening to a podcast and it was talking about our creative minds can like as we are doing something creative, we it helps and allows our hearts to be connected to our creator, which like that makes sense
That's
and
cool.
it is very cool.
Specifically doing something creative because
Yes.
God's creative.
Yes. Or like he is my creator or that is a way that I'm like I am like the Lord is I love to create. And I'm like, the Lord is literally a creator. So I sometimes use it as a means to then speak to him as well.
Cool.
So if I'm doodling or like that can help me dive in deeper.
Cool.
So but yes, I do feel like it's like Jesus is at the table with me, but also I'm in communication with him when it's like, okay, what pictures do you want me to pull like in scrapbook or
Cool.
and it's not so black and white that I'm like, okay, is it this one or this one? I think I've learned a lot over time to trust my gut as I
Sure.
am creating because the Lord also speaks in your gut.
Yeah.
And so just building with him and trusting like the Lord is with me. And then maybe at the end I'm like, whoa, okay, Lord, what do you want to say about this
Cool.
that we've
Okay.
created?
Yeah.
But
So it really is like a normal human process. You are doing something creative. You are with the Lord in it, but you're not like scrupulously checking that this is holy or prayerful. You're
yeah.
just being McKenna, doing your art with the Lord, kind of by your side. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. There was a girl I met who, wow, it was, she was a painter and she painted this beautiful picture of Joseph and holding baby Jesus for her diocese in South Dakota. It was awesome. And I talked to her about like, okay, but what does that look like in your prayer life? Do you, because sometimes when I'm drawing, my mind just goes blank
Sure.
and I'm like, is this prayer? She's like, but as I develop or a vision of what I want to paint, I'm speaking to the Lord so much.
Yeah,
And
sure.
then obviously, and then she talked about too, like, her mind kind of goes blank as she paints, but
yeah, because there's a lot of pressure if you're like, every stroke of my brush has to be like a meditation. It's like, no, the art takes some time. There's a lot of like figuring out what you're going to do and moving your pen around and deciding, you know, like, it's like, I guess if you are first venturing into creative prayer and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this creative prayer thing, I'm not really sure, like, take the pressure off to like achieve a certain result or feel a certain way and just do it with the Lord and see what it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I'm ever like, oh, is this right? Is this wrong? I always go back to the question of like, Lord, was I obedient to you today? So like,
oh, cool.
Within drawing this picture, Lord, is this something that you want to do?
Cool.
Is, you know, and if my gut and him say yes, then I proceed.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I love it. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Something I do that I was actually taught by a girl at Damascus with journaling. So I do like to journal. I like to journal different ways. I think we talked about scribble journaling at some point, like just writing without actually putting words on the paper, just scribbling. But she gave me this great thing that I do now sometimes where I kind of just brain dump on the page.
Mm-hmm.
I just, everything that I'm thinking, anything to process kind of a situation. And then I will pause and be done with kind of my writing. Maybe I wrote a page, maybe I wrote like a couple paragraphs, and then I'll go back with a different color or with like ready to underline or highlight. And I'll say, Lord, can you show me any lies that are in here? Mm-hmm. And I'll kind of identify lies and truths within the work I just wrote. And then I'm like having a conversation about what I just wrote. And the Lord and I are like, pulling out lies, then I'm writing new things down, like, okay, what are the truths instead that you want to replace these lies with? But it's kind of like, I'm not trying to make my prayer journal look or sound any certain way. I'm just kind of uncensored, like, blah. And then I'm sifting through to see what is in my heart, because a lot just came out.
Yeah.
And is there anything here that we need to kind of have a further conversation about? I think it takes the pressure off me to say what I need to say what I mean right away. Because sometimes, I don't know, I guess I'm an external processor in prayer, not so much in life, but yeah. I need to say something or write it out and then be like, oh, I don't know if I actually think that. I just said it.
It's so good that you're like, are honest. I think there are sometimes when you're like, am I going to sometimes die and be a saint and then someone's going to read this?
And... Oh, for sure. And I'm like, this is horrible.
No, but it's like good to be so honest.
Like, everybody be warned. This is my external processing. I don't know if I believe this. I had to get it out.
Yeah.
My poor husband, he's like, I only journal when it's like something that's bad. So my whole journal is full of bad things. Mm. But that's not a reflection of my life. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Okay, sounds good. I know. I don't read his prayer journal, but I kind of want to.
But you can. Well, I feel like my husband and I have talked about that.
And be like, hide the prayer journal.
Murphy and I have talked about that when we were engaged. And I was like, you're not going to read my journal. And he was like, McKenna, I'm going to know you. So, like,
this is so between deeply. Me and the Lord. I really do think it's an intimacy thing between you and God. You're like, what?
No. I was like, no. But now I think I would. I think there are times where I'm literally in prayer. And I'm like, Murphy, I think you need to read this page in my journal.
Wow. Okay, wait. That's cool. That's a new level of, like, marital union, right?
Yeah. No, it is. It's cool. But I think, yeah.
My husband would read mine and be like, what? I'd be like, can't you see? I highlighted that word. Okay, what else? What else do you do?
Off of journaling and kind of in that same realm, there's this concept called shelving.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, we did talk about the shelf in another episode.
We did?
We did. I know. I'm sorry to say we did. But amazing. Keep going. Do you shelf?
Yes. Yeah. I forgot. But basically, well, within shelving, you keep the same page in your journal. Like, this is my shelf page.
Okay, okay, yes. Yep.
And you shelf, like, things that you might not have time to think about or you're mad or – but you're like, I'm mad, but I need to go teach a class right now, and I don't have time to be mad. So you write it down in your notes.
Yes.
I'm going to shelf this. And then I'm going to talk to the Lord about it and highlight truth.
Yes.
But I love the idea of certain pages being like, I'm going to go back here.
Yeah.
And so there are other, like, staple pages I have in my journal that are, like, dreams with me and the Lord.
Yes.
And so that's been a fun one to be like, Lord, what are the dreams you have for my life?
Yep.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I have a staple page too. I have a tree right now, and the tree is, it's like a wound tree with like the roots being wounds and the fruit being sins and the branches being lies. And it's like we're kind of gardening, I guess, together. I don't feel like I'm necessarily in a garden season, if you will. But like, I do return to that and say, has anything changed? I can update it. I can say, I think I've shifted. That fruit is not as much in my life. You know, so I'm working on a process of kind of going through that. So I love the idea of staple pages.
Yeah, that's good.
At one point I had a graveyard staple page. I was sad about that. It was like, these things need to die. It was like a great, I like drew like headstones and it was like, things need to die in my life.
Wow.
And I needed to bury them.
Wow.
It was a little morbid, but you know, sometimes you have to be like that.
Yeah.
Kill things and put them in the grave.
Memento mori.
I know, seriously.
That's good.
I also like to visualize saints. So I'm a big, not as much anymore, to be honest, in this season, but when I was probably 19 and I first was learning to pray in Net Ministries, I felt like totally a whole new world that I could kind of relate to and speak to saints. I've always loved saints. I think the Saint of the Month club my mom ran when I was a kid, like changed my life or whatever.
Wow.
Anyways, I wrote saint stories, even as a kid, like biography stories about saints, mostly martyrs. Very gruesome, very graphic.
Wow.
Blessed Zurbakanja, like my guy when I was younger. He like was horribly martyred. Anyways, and now I don't have the stomach for it. I'm like, what was like 12-year-old Monica thinking? But all that to say is right around Pier Giorgio Frassati was like my first one. And I know, classic Catholic girl talking to Pier Giorgio Frassati, right? But I mean, the Lord works through, you know, our flesh. And sometimes our flesh says, that guy's cute. I will totally talk to him, you know? And so that was what was happening. And I felt like Pier Giorgio Frassati and I were just talking. Okay, this is going to totally expose myself, but like me and my friends, should I say her name? No, I'm kidding. We, growing up, developed an EYOB, 18-year-old brother, okay? An ideal older brother. I only have older sisters, but we wanted an older brother so bad. And in our minds, older brothers were kind and caring and nurturing and like cheerleaders and so good. And all of the stories I wrote as a kid always had an older brother in them. And he was always like the perfect character. And his name was always Jacob, just saying.
Wow.
Anyway, so I was like, my perfect older brother. So anyways, when I was 19 years old and I met Pier Giorgio Frassati and he's like, you know, 24 years old, he's 5 years older than me. I'm like,
an older
an EYOB. So like truly the Lord worked. I know this sounds so silly, but it's so serious. He worked through my own physical desires, my lifelong, I want an older brother to be like, here is a saintly older brother. And here are stories that draw me to Jesus, but it's through Pier Giorgio. I remember stories like, you know, he would like go to daily mass on feast days. And I remember thinking for the first time, oh, that's how you celebrate feast days? I love to celebrate feast days with cake, you know? And like, for the first time, Pier Giorgio inspired me to think I can celebrate feast days through actually doing something that the saint would love, which is like participating in the liturgy with the saint. Or he like would sacrifice his clothes, give his own money away. Anyways, we don't have to go into the whole story of Pier Giorgio. He's amazing.
EYOB.
But you know, the whole idea of like a saint being the one to draw me, I would even to the point of like, I feel like I always was crushing on somebody. Always. I would feel like at mass in particular, I would feel like Pier Giorgio would come sit beside me and kind of give me the eye, like the stink eye, like stop thinking about that guy over on the other side of the church. Think about Jesus. You are at mass. And I'd be like, oh, right. Sorry. But I felt like I was praying through the presence of this saint actually helping shepherd my heart like an older brother would. I don't know. Anyways.
Wow.
I love saints and I do feel like I am friends with them.
Yes. I really think that is something on your life that is... Well, it's fun to pinpoint like things that you're passionate about or things that differentiate. Wow, my words tonight.
Differentiate. Yo, you're doing great.
Differentiate your life from others. And I'm like, you are very, I would say, saint-centered. And
it's interesting. My upbringing was so saint. It was saint to everything. Yeah. It was like, here's how to do it. Pick one of these ways. There's like a million options.
This is but it makes sense that you love options.
I love options.
But it's cool to be like, wow, it doesn't always look the same for him and da da da. It is
funny. And my mom, I think, loves saints. And it just totally, like our shelves were full of saint books. That was like what you read for fun was like, oh, different stories of saints. And yeah, so I do think too, I'm a people person, not in every sense of the word, but like if, like, I don't know, I think I shared in an earlier podcast that like I wrote my life story and I feel like every significant moment that God spoke to me was through another person or through the example of another person. It was very rarely like a moment of adoration or a moment of like encountering him in the wilderness. It was like a person inspired me and I followed that person. So I'm like a people following person.
That's
amazing. I gotta see that person do it. Like, what is that? I don't know.
I love it.
Anyways,
but I'm like,
this is a major tangent. I apologize, but no, Pier Giorgio is worth it. Thank you. He's a saint too. So
he's a saint too. No, he's a saint too. And I think about like, why do moms have like a bunch of saint books, or why is that a cute Catholic thing
it.
To
like,
do?
Do it.
Yeah, it do
inspires
it.
Your kids. Okay, keep going.
But I think it's the idea of like, because I want you to know that there's a great plan for your life.
Yes.
And for your sainthood.
Yes.
And look at all these people.
Yeah.
I think it is like a, look, you can be like them and follow their ways. But I think it's like, look, there are so many ways that.
Yeah.
So can you. Yeah. And God's got a great plan for your yeah. life.
Like nothing disqualifies you from sanctity. Not your personality, not your preferences, not your height, not your yeah. status in society, your wealth,
yeah.
your education, nothing. Because there are saints of every walk of life. There's like queens and kings, and there's peasants, everything in between.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And I'm like, there's saints that we still need that. I'm like, there yeah. are. I look up patrons of certain things. I don't know the
right,
patron
like,
of an art. What is art patron?
Yeah, artist.
I feel like I've.
Fra Angelica comes to mind.
Okay.
He's a painter.
I don't okay. know. I feel
but again,
like
I'm like,
never
I
was
late to you.
Yeah, well, I feel like I was never like, oh, this is a patron saint of artists, or like
yeah.
where it was clear. But I remember a priest. I was in confession with him, and he was like, you know, like, what's your niche? Like,
yeah.
every saint has a niche. What's your niche gonna be?
You were like, pressure.
And I was like, I don't know. But
no, I do think that because I often think, what would Jesus do? And then I look at the Gospels and I see that he's doing things, and I'm like, oh, okay, what would Jesus do if he had an 18-month-old toddler? And a husband, because that would be different than what he's doing right now. You know,
totally,
like,
totally.
Seriously, you gotta look at somebody who's actually in your state of life to know what's going on.
Or if you're like, should I find out the gender of my baby or not? Well, can I just say, Mary did.
Oh, wait, that's hilarious. She did at the Annunciation.
So,
did she ask? No.
Well, okay, yeah, no.
Spoil it for her? Yes.
And I'm not finding out. So it's not a, yeah, it's not a black or white
That's
thing.
That's hilarious.
But it's just funny.
Maybe we should all do what the Mother of God did. No, I'm just kidding. That is well, so funny. I never thought of it. All right, all right, all right. Back to, okay, let me think. What else?
Okay, this is a way early on I learned to pray. And I think it's been a while, but it did come to my mind. So yeah. I'll share it. It's called... They called it the Jesus Prayer when I was on net.
Ooh.
And it's you breathe in like, Jesus.
Oh.
I breathe Jesus. In your peace.
Yes.
And I breathe out lies, fear, anxiety. Like, or love. Just simply, Jesus, I breathe in.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. So.
I love that.
That's cool.
Very presence. Very simple.
Yeah.
And you can do it throughout the day. Because I think a lot of what we're talking about right now is more about sitting down at a specific time of prayer. We do need a whole new episode on how to pray throughout your day as well,
mm-hmm.
because prayer is not just confined to the hour that you sit down.
Yes.
But it is good to know what you're doing and feel confident in that hour.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Okay, something that I like to do is timelining. I think I did not talk about this before, but anyways, let me just shoot my shot here. But timelining, this is when I was in a season of like anger. I have a temper and I've been working on it for years. And something that really helped was... it was like, I do Monica Mondays. So I check in on Mondays with myself and I check in all sorts of different things. Like, how am I doing with my goals and physically and emotionally, and spiritually and mentally and blah, 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 blah. But one thing I would do is also timeline. So once a week, I would track my week, my highs and my lows. I'd write them all out chronologically. And then I'd draw my little like zigzag line of like highs and lows. And sometimes it was all lows. Do down, down, down.
Mm-hmm.
And at each low, especially the low points, I would say, okay, what was I thinking and believing at this point? Lord, can you show me, were there any lies I was believing? And there always were, because the devil likes to get us when we're low. So usually if we have a low moment, the devil's like, and you suck, and nobody likes you. You know, like there's compounded things in there. So I was able to identify those. And then I like color coded them. I'm a big color coding girl. And so I was like, all right, orange is this lie and pink is this lie. And then throughout the weeks, I could track it and say, this lie is constant. This lie was only for this one week. It kind of came and went, but I could see like the central things I was struggling with. And I could, you know, what's his name? Bob Schutz. Is that right?
Doctor.
Dr. Bob Schutz, healing guy. He talks about like the seven deadly wounds are corresponding with the seven deadly sins. And so like there are root things. If you can dig and dig and dig, root things that are our own problems, that are individual to you or individual to me. And we can, it's like, how do I know which one I'm struggling with? Like, can you track your life a little bit? And I did that in prayer because it felt like a safe space with the Lord to kind of examine my life without shame, without blame, and say, this is where I've fallen this week, and these are the lies, and can you have a conversation with me about this to prepare me for the week ahead? So that was like a very seasonal thing that isn't for everybody, but definitely helped me. And again, me with my drawing, my stick figures, really liked that. I also, you know, and I know this is our whole thing, is like planning your prayer out, but like I would go through seasons of like, I'm going to do all the Marian virtues one per week. So I'd pick like a word for the week.
Wow, fun.
And even if I wasn't like programming my prayer specifically, it was like, okay, now I have a theme and I kind of have something I'm working with, and I'd make that, you know, like the page you were talking about, a page that you return to, I'd put that word big over my journal, and then I'd return throughout the week and put little comments, things I learned about that word, you know?
Yes, very like word of the year.
Yeah, word of the year.
But
yeah.
Going back to it and yeah. Being like, it's more than just that thing totally. I'm gonna do at the end.
Totally. That distant memory beginning. Of something that happened in January.
Yes. Speaking of it being 2026, you know, word of the year. Shout out. I know.
Go for that word of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have, this has been something I've gifted before.
Oh, awesome.
Is a miracle book.
Oh, awesome. What does that mean?
Basically within our ministry at Damascus, we've kept like a miracle book where kids will write testimonies yes. of what the Lord has done and how he's transformed their life. And it's little blurbs or sentences. And anyway, but when I gift a miracle book, I might draw some images and saint quotes and things like that. But the purpose is to be like, the Lord's going to work big in your marriage cool. or in your next year of life. And here's a place to remember what he's done.
So you give them a blank template of something that in hope and anticipation that they're going to fill it.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's so cool.
And why do I say this? Because I haven't done it yet. But but I know I was just talking to someone. I was like, man, I forget so often what the Lord has done in my life. Mm-hmm. And I know when, because there are certain things that I know that mark my life or that I'm mm-hmm. like, that is something on my life. Like Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord has great plans for you. Like, that is something that is on my life mm-hmm. that I've learned. Mm-hmm. And it's a miracle that the Lord has, like, worked that in me. Mm. And that should go in my miracle book, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I love it. I love the anticipation that, of course, God is going to do something. So much so that I'm going to make space in a book for you to literally write it down. It's like, If God does something for you, maybe you could remember it. It's like, no, he is going to. Are you going to pay attention and remember it?
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
I'm going to put that on, like, next year's Christmas list for people. A miracle book. Like, too bad Christmas just passed.
He's going to.
Okay, so something that I'd like to do also is the Lord and I will do, like, a longer-term project. Okay, so, like, mm-hmm. it's not just 1 half hour of sitting down to pray, but it's like we're always working on something. So there is this song called The Coat of Many Colors by Brandon Lake, which came out more recently. Love that song. Love it. It's about Joseph and his coat of many colors, but he kind of takes apart the coat one color at a time and says, like, red is for the blood and white is for, I don't even know actually the words of it. I have to sing it. But anyways, he is like deconstructing the coat and everything represents something. I love symbolism like that. I think that's very cool. I'm like, okay, I had a season where I had this little image that the Lord was giving me a ring. And I thought it meant that I was going to be a consecrated virgin because I was like ready. I was like, propose to me, Lord.
Jesus, give me a ring. Yeah.
But the ring had different colors in it. And I was like, what? Wow. And I felt like throughout the weeks, slowly, what I would return to is be like, hi, I'm back for prayer. Let's talk about the ring. And he would show me this color is to represent this. This color should represent this. And he was like putting virtue onto me. And each of the virtues, like the red represented something, the blue represented something. Anyways, it was like a longer term thing that every day I was doing the same thing and I couldn't wait to find out the next color, the next thing he was going to say. I felt like it was a really rich season. Or similarly, I felt like there was a season I felt like I needed to forgive a lot of people in my life. And the Lord brought this image of like a chapel with stained glass windows and how stained glass is actually, you know, broken. And it's beautiful because it's like pieced together, but the light shines through. But if you look at it, it's like broken glass and we are all broken people and all the people I needed to forgive are broken people, but God's love still shines through them. So he had me like drawing stained glass windows every day in my journal with a person in between. Now I'm talking bad stained glass windows with stick figures. Okay. It's not pretty, but like, it was like, all right, can I see the good that God is shining through this person? And can I forgive them? As well as not just say, I forgive you, but also like see the good in them.
Wow.
And that took a long time because I felt like there was a lot of people. My chapel of forgiveness was big. But it was like a long-term project. I liked that.
Wow. How did you know when it was like, oh, this isn't something I'm just going to do today. This is going to be a problem. Like, were you like,
great question.
Lord, I just feel like you're continuing. Like,
yeah, I just felt like it wasn't done after one go. You know, it was like, I remember the stained glass one in particular. As I was praying, I must have been in a church. I don't remember this specifically, but I must have been somewhere where I was looking at stained glass because it occurred to me, it's all broken. It's broken. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. But it's shining through. How beautiful. And like the beautiful stained glass light on the floor. And so I remember drawing the one and then thinking, oh gosh, there's more. There's more people that I need to forgive like this. This took a lot of time to do this one. Okay, I should probably return to this. And the next day, I don't know. I think I've heard an expression like, as long as there's water in the well, stay at the well. I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe that's a little simplified. But like, if the Lord's doing something in prayer, don't rush past it. Say, okay, you're still here talking about stained glass. Yeah. I will stay with you here and keep talking about this. And I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm bored. I want to keep moving to the... Like, if you still have people bringing up that I'm supposed to forgive, I'm going to follow your pace. So, I feel like that took maybe 2-3 weeks. It was a while.
Wow.
I started dreading it. Who else do I have to forgive?
Yeah. But I'm like, wow, that's beautiful. This one woman was telling me how she prayed with the same verse for, like, many days.
Okay, yes.
And I think it was... I want to say it was like something like a month. And
I think
that's like,
challenging. I think that's really good. Yeah.
But how it's like, no, Lord, I feel like you are still going to speak through this one thing.
I mean, imagine the hope and confidence. You're like, hello, I'm back. You're going to say the same thing and I'm going to hear it differently because you are living and you're saying it to me different.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, have you seen, oh gosh, let me think if I remember this. It's like there's a sentence that if you say it with a different emphasis on each word, it changes the whole sentence. Wait, hang on.
Like, my grandma ate...
Let's eat grandma. Or like, let's eat, comma, grandma.
Yes.
It's like that type of thing. One sec. Okay, I just pulled it up. It is, I didn't say he stole the money. So you read that and you read it with a different... You can read it 7 different ways. I didn't say he stole the money. 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 I don't know, I guess. See how it changes every time? It means different things. This is how our language works.
That is interesting.
So what if we could do that with scripture?
That's interesting.
But I feel like I never give scripture enough time. Maybe that's a challenge for me, is every day stick on the same verse.
Yeah.
But again, only if it's obedient to God, not if I'm like trying to challenge myself.
Real. Real. But I'm like, I think if you're reading scripture, I'm like, and that is even, it baffles me how even if you were coming into it, like, I'm going to do it to challenge myself. The Lord is still going, he's not going to abandon you there and he will still bless you there be like,
he's so
I'm
good.
Still going to speak to you there.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, I started working out because I want my self-image to...
That's true. It's not like your muscles are like, or we're not going to cooperate with that.
Yes, it's like, or that's not to say the Lord's not going to bless that. Do the thing.
You're right, McKenna. It's like, God can work with bad intentions. He can work with it. Like,
Yeah. Love that.
It's comforting.
Do you want to talk old faves?
Okay, yeah. Tried and true. Things that we return to time and time again. One is the image of baggage. Did you ever see that drama of like the kid with baggage?
I did.
Were you in it?
And no, I like directed a drama was baggage. And it's amazing.
Wait, can you explain it just in case one of our listeners does not know?
So it's this. Okay. So imagine I'm the main character. Well, Monica's the main character.
Yeah, I am.
And I go up to Monica and maybe I'm her friend and I'm like, Monica, you weren't playing with me the other day. I don't like you anymore. And I throw my bag on the ground and she's like, what? I thought I was a good friend, but maybe I'm not. She picks up the bag and now has to carry the baggage
so
that
heavy.
I threw on her. And then, new character, I'm her dad now. Monica, you never finish your homework on time. What? Will you ever be enough? And you're like, whoa. throws down the big luggage this time. She's like, Dad, I'm trying. Picks up the luggage. And at the end of the scene, there's so many people within her life that have care have put this luggage on her, and she is carrying it. Mm-hmm. And then you have Jesus who comes in, and Jesus is like, "Why are you carrying this?" And and she's like, "Well, you know, what would you say, Monica?"
I don't know. I have to.
Yeah, like,
it's my stuff. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I have to. And it's attached to me, you know, like, and Jesus is like, "This is actually mine to carry." And yeah, he places his hand on your shoulder and brings you peace, and all the bags go to the floor.
Yeah, and he lets you drop them. Yeah. Yes. Well done, honestly. Let's just clap for McKenna. That was good.
Thank you.
But, like, seriously, I think I saw that during my time at NET. And that little drama totally gave me fresh perspective. I, you know, I'm a visual person. I had never seen it like that. I was like, so I would for a long time come to prayer, and the very first thing I would do would draw little suitcases and write down anything that was like distracting me or giving baggage vibes. I was like, let's drop this at the door so I can talk to Jesus. So yeah, lots of suitcases in my notebooks.
Love that.
What about you?
I love that. Tried and true. I think about when I first learned to pray and what that looked like. And it would usually be me sitting down. I would set a timer on my phone for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And just because, and I've grappled with the whole, like, how much time should I pray? Am I actually stressed about meeting the time as a checkbox? And but I think sometimes it is good for me to be like, no, I'm going to actually be like, I'm going to sit here for an hour, because it helps me to enter in and be like,
sure,
I'm going to be here and I'm committed to this time, you know?
Yeah. It's like the more time is the discipline part. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, still something I'm like, I don't know. I would listen to a worship song.
Yeah.
And I would take in the music, connect with the Lord. I'd write in my journal like three things I was thankful for.
Oh, I love it.
And people will say, like, if you feel far from the Lord, write down what you're grateful for, because a grateful heart, like, leads you back to Him.
Yeah, it's great. Which
is awesome. And then I would journal a little bit and then go and read some scripture, be like, Lord, what are you saying? And those were, like, my basic things. So
yeah.
If I'm ever, like, really lost, I could just go back to the, what I say, like, the basics, yeah, which is obviously not basic, but
it's your basic. It's your starting place.
Yes. Yes. It's cool. I also love going back to, like this home place that I have in scripture, which is Romans 8:18, the sufferings that, oh my gosh, what is it? For the sufferings,
poor thing.
You're like,
your baby stole your thought.
You're like, oh my gosh, the sufferings of the present moment are nothing compared to the glories I have prepared for you. There have been literal times where I'm falling asleep, and that verse is what is playing in my head.
Wow.
And like brings me back to the Lord.
When did you first connect with that verse?
I want to say it was a couple years ago, but it wasn't like some big, like, this is the verse that's getting me through. It just was like how my heart feels stricken by this verse. And it has carried me a lot in certain situations.
It's stuck with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Lord really has that for you. I love it. Yeah. Sometimes things, the word becomes personal to us.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Yeah. I go back to a couple different images frequently as well. Two are, like, one is the board of directors of my heart, and one is the flaming arrows. So the board of directors of my heart is this idea of, you know, every company has a board of directors, and they get to make the decisions. Mm-hmm. And I drew one day in my journal, like, a little, you know, table, and I was like, who is sitting around the board of directors of my heart? Because
like Inside Out.
What? Like Inside Out! Okay, the sort movie. Of. Sort of. You are so right. Though I don't feel like it felt like a different idea where it wasn't emotions, but yes. Similar vibes, like who is running the ship. But I think what was happening was I was feeling like not cool, which I don't know if I am a very cool person in the first place, so like maybe that was just true. But I was like, why do I feel like everything I do is lame? Every single thing is so dumb. And I was like, who am I measuring this by? Who am I trying to impress? And I dug and I found there's this one girl from my high school who I thought was the coolest person ever. I still think she's the coolest person ever. And she is, to be fair. And I was like, she probably doesn't think I'm cool right now. And like, how silly is that? That states and years apart of distance, I still am putting her on the board of directors of my heart and trying to make decisions as if she is the one making the decision with me. I'm like, you don't belong here. I might love you, admire you. Get off of the board of directors of my heart. Let me make this smaller. So sometimes I will come back to this image. It just kind of feels like a first language where if I'm caring too much about somebody else's perspective or I'm bothered that they don't like me, I'll be like, let's check the board. Let's see who's on the board. Who have I let sneak into this boardroom that's making decisions for me? Because it should not be a big. It should be a small crew of the people who know me best.
My goodness.
You know?
That is...
It's helpful.
That's genius.
It's helpful. Can you tell I'm a people pleaser? But it's helpful. You're like, get off my board. Like, this one person I met at the store is on my board of directors. I'm like, oh no, that lady thinks I'm dumb. Like,
right?
It's like, yeah, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Wow. So... Wow, I'm gonna...
Do you like that?
Gosh, I'm gonna tell everyone I know about that.
It's a good one, right?
It reminds me of, and you know the right wording for this. I'm gonna describe it, and I'm not gonna say it right.
I'm excited.
It is when, separate concept, but you're sitting down with your different, like, different yous. So, like...
Oh, different ages
My
of
childhood
you.
Self, okay. Or my angsty side.
Oh,
or
I love
my,
this, yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is this internal family systems?
Internal family systems. Okay. Is mm-hmm. And this is used, I think, with... Even outside the...
Totally.
Catholic, Christian realm.
It's like a psychology practice of...
Yes.
Knowing and accepting yourself.
Yes. Yeah. But that's what I thought you were getting at first, of, like, sitting down with the yeah. different yous and being like, okay, what part of me is actually feeling this? Yeah. And what is the root of this? Oh, me from high school is feeling that.
Yes. Oh, I do love that. I've actually not done a whole ton of work there, but I am interested in that area of like conversing with yourself, especially if there was a period of time that you really didn't like yourself, like going back to that version of yourself and forgiving her and bringing her back to the table and saying, you're welcome here. I just don't know if I had a period of time that I particularly like hated myself. And so I don't know if it hits as home to me. But I've seen recently, this is like such a side tangent, but there's, you can do with AI, you can like take a childhood photo of yourself and then a real photo of yourself and it will put it together like you with your arm around your younger self.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's kind of, I mean, you're thinking it's creepy? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know how to feel.
Okay, it's a little creepy maybe. It's very deceiving, could be. But I think, wow, maybe that little girl needed to feel accepted. You know, I think you and ChatGPT could have a good time with prayer with the Lord.
Good.
Okay, but the other one is the flaming arrows, and this is just Ephesians 6, the armor of God, the whole idea of the armor of God, and then the flaming arrows of the evil one. I really like to think about lies from the devil as flaming arrows, because they are not scary if you're wearing a full suit of armor and have a shield. Like, they're just like, ping, ping, get away from me, flaming arrows. So I like to draw the little flaming arrows and label them, and then draw my little armor, my shield of faith.
Wow.
So I do that quite a bit. Often, I guess, I feel like lies are big for me too, where I'm like, everything's a lie.
Totally.
But it is. If you get in your head about something, yes, you can really, so much peace by just saying, that is not true. That is not the voice of God. I listen to so many other voices. Get my armor on, baby. So.
Wow. Gosh, I think most of this episode is me in awe of Monica Welsh's mind.
Truly, it's not even mine. This is the mind of God. And this is just like how he talks to me. I'm like, there are so many different ways. I just wish that we could sit down with Francis de Sales and I'd be like, how do you pray? Tell us.
Right.
People like this. This is the first conversation I truly am having about this with somebody, because you and me are talking about this on purpose. But this is not a common thing. You don't sit down at a dinner party and like, how are you praying? But I am sure if you did, people would say amazing things.
Totally.
So like, can you guys who are listening to this, hit us up and tell us? Because we just want more. A library of options.
Yes.
Yeah.
I get it, because like your relationship with the Lord is so intimate
that
I get why people are like, I'm not telling you exactly what I do, everything that's happening, but I think that the enemy loves to come in and be like, look how they're praying. That's the right way, and you're not doing it right. Yeah.
And
that
no
is a lie.
Get out of here, flaming arrow. That is not true.
Get out of here, flaming hell arrow.
And ping, ping, off the armor. Like, it's not even effective. Yes. It's so dumb.
Yes. And I feel very fired up, because I'm like, wow, I feel like permission to go in and be like draw the armor and do all the things. So
totally. Get outside of your comfort zone. And I will say in the same breath too, I am so not perfect at praying. And like, I should be somebody who, given the history of how God has romanced me through prayer, mm-hmm. who should sit down faithfully every single morning and be like, Lord, I cannot believe everything you've already said to me. I already feel so in love with you. Mm. Thank you. But instead I sit down and I'm like, I'm already bored. Like, totally. I literally forget what God has done every day. Totally. I am bored. I am restless, distracted. I have to fight for it. Like, I just think that it's an upward climb. It's like every time you go to the dentist, they're like, do you floss? And you're like, no matter how many times I floss, you will always think I don't floss.
Or how many times I lie to them. Wait, what? No, I don't. Say, I don't lie to them.
How many times you lie to them? Like, literally, it's just one of those things that is so easy for the devil to start messing up that he's never going to let that be easy for you. So you might as well get used to it being difficult. And yeah. Anyways, okay, that's old faves. Last ones. Anything you haven't said yet? I want to talk about the examine through Jesus' eyes. What is this? You mentioned this.
Oh, okay. So this, I was in North Dakota one day and I picked
North
up
Dakota.
somewhere in there. And I picked up an examine. And in this examine, it was the best one I've ever.
Oh yeah. You love examines.
I've ever read.
Yes.
I do. And I don't do them every night.
Neither
but
do I.
Love them. And why? Well, this is why. Okay, I picked up this examine that said, before you do and go to confession, ask the Lord to show you yourself in his eyes first. So rather than going and being like,
that's sweet.
Man, I'm terrible. I'm icky. I'm such a sinner. All these things, which are like stealing the joy of the excitement of the sacrament that
totally.
The Lord's going to wash you clean, you know. But, sit down and ask the Lord for his eyes for you. Mm-hmm. And I remember receiving an image of little 10-year-old McKenna, or 6-year-old, whatever it was. And I had food all over my face. And Jesus takes a wet wipe up to my face and just wipes it off. And that's how Jesus was saying, like, here's how I see you.
Wow.
Where I was probably like, I am too messy to even be... it'd be near you. He was like, I actually, you're a kiddo who has food on their face. I'm just going to wipe it off, you know, and I'm not afraid to approach you. And so looking through Jesus' eyes is something that I'm like, man, it changes me.
Yeah, before doing the examine in particular, because the examine is when you start to examine your own self and you can be so critical.
Yeah.
And it's good to be honest with yourself, with the sins, yeah. but yeah, to first get Jesus' perspective on it. Wow. That's a good step. I bet from heaven, Ignatius, who started the examine, is like, oh, why did I think of that?
No, I'm kidding. I'm like, I got you, Ignatius.
McKenna's like, all right, Ignatius part two. No, just teasing. Okay, cool. I think this might be a great place to stop. McKenna, what do you think?
I think so. But I'm like, I hope you feel, if there were any of those that your heart was like, oh, I feel like I could do that, or I want to do that. Or your brain is turning. I'm a huge fan of brainstorming sessions where I give bad ideas. And if it's for the sake of your brain latching on to be able to have its own idea, I'm like, wow, this is a new year and the Lord wants to speak to you. And this idea that you don't pray well or that it has to look a certain way every day, I'm like,
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's like if you are trying to get better at anything, you will practice and you will try different methods and you'll spend time with it. And so I know we want to be close to the Lord. Nobody wants to feel like I'm kind of distant from God, but I'm trying my best. Like we want deepness with him. We want ultimately like contemplation, ecstasy, seventh mansion stuff. McKenna and I are not there, but where we are is able to navigate kind of the dryness of prayer, able to program prayer, and basically everything that we can do, you can do too. This is accessible to you. Jesus wants to talk to you. He wants to get closer with you. This is the year for you to get close with him. So this is why we got together. We made this prayer companion. And so it really does. It comes out soon. And we just are excited to share it. So please, if this is you, if this is touching your heart, go check it out. Just go see. It will walk you through how to program your own prayer. It will give you so many ideas, an index of tons of different ideas that we've talked about and ones we haven't, to get your wheels turning. And it's supposed to be something that you can come back to. So you program your own prayer through it. And then you can, in 3 months when you're done with that prayer plan, come back to the same thing and restart and do something different. And so it should be a nice living document that you can kind of hold on to. So yeah. I hope you love it.
So happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Bye.